This morning's reading is Psalm 46, and that can be found in page 570 in the church Bibles. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her, she will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much. Some years ago, Margaret and I went on a holiday to Italy, and we went on a day trip to Pompeii. Anybody been to Pompeii? A remarkable place. We were amazed at what was there. And so the other day, a few weeks ago, when I saw online there was a video showing what actually happened, how the volcano erupted and what happened, I watched it. I was very impressed. And suddenly, you see, many people, when they saw this, they heard the eruption, saw it, they ran to their homes as a refuge. They went to hide in the most secure place they knew. Sadly, it was a waste of time. You see, their refuge became a death trap. They hadn't imagined what this was going to be like. And so the psalmist here says, refuge, God is our refuge. We have a real refuge, a secure refuge, a tested refuge. There is nothing that can overwhelm our refuge. He says something more. There was a young man, he was trying to cut a big tree. There was a big tree in the back garden, and he was having a go to cut it down. And his dad comes home. He'd been at it for about an hour. His dad sees him there, and he's perspiring and tired. He says, son, he says, you haven't used all your strength. Dad, he says, what do you mean? Look at me. He says, you haven't used all your strength. You haven't asked me. So the dad picks up the axe, and within a few minutes, the tree is cut down. He says, I'm part of your strength. Ask me. I can do it. This is beyond you. Your strength is limited. And the psalmist says, not only God is our refuge, God is our strength. In issue situations where we need more than we are able to physically, humanly speaking, he's our strength. Refuge and strength. Two important words, much sought after. The one indicates somewhere we can run in for safety in times of danger to feel secure. But also strength. Because sometimes, even running to the place of refuge, we need strength. The second part of the verse is very interesting. Normally, it's translated, a very pleasant help in trouble. And actually, this translation is a bit inadequate for me. It's correct, but a bit inadequate. It suggests, well, God is always there. But actually, in the original Hebrew, I gather, I don't speak Hebrew, I don't read it, but apparently the message was this: He has always been there for us. Not He's always there. He has always been there. In other words, look back, there is a history. It's not somebody saying to you, it's not an advert, it's an experience. Look back, hasn't He always been there? We can look back and see. We have a history we can rely upon. God is our strength and refuge. I was quoting Margaret, we weren't married yet, and she tends to be a little bit pessimistic. And I said, I'll tell you what I said. We're going to start a book. We're going to call it Pickling's Pessimism. At college, she got the nickname Pickling because her surname was Pickering. Pickling's Pessimism. I said, on one side, you will write down all you thought would happen. And on the other side, you write down what actually transpired. And then you look back and see, oh, actually, it didn't happen like that. God overruled. God sorted things out. We were going to a conference. Oh, he said, well, no, we won't know anybody. I said, just trust God. We arrive there. At the entrance, though, there's a family sitting. We get to know them straight away. They welcome us. They became friends for life. And then we go through, and there's a young man that we know from church, another church. I say, do you see? In our human nature, sometimes we need to jot down the history because we're human. The psalmist says, we have a history. So much progress has been made in our society, in our world, whether it's health or wealth or well-being. And yet, we live in a broken world with little security. And in recent years, of course, we've become aware our world is much more fragile. We are bombarded by, you know, all this information. I'm not sure how much is accurate, how much is made. The world is going to boil up and, you know, come to an end. And, you know, we're going to be attacked by Russia and we're going to have a nuclear holocaust and all this is going to happen. We're going to die and, you know, and even more immediate, you're going to get less money. The government's going to cut down. I know it's a Labour government. They're going to cut down. From all around us, we're surrounded by issues that naturally would make us to be anxious. And the psalmist actually says, look around and you see we live in a broken world. Understandably, people look for security. And very often, of course, they become disillusioned. Politically, we are told, I don't believe the news, but anyway, we're told that people are swinging to the right on the continent. Elections, they're swinging to the right. Actually, they're not swinging to the right. They become disillusioned with the people who are governing them and say, we'll vote for somebody else. Why? Because the solutions they're looking for will not be found in human beings. They're looking in the wrong place for refuge. There have been periods in our society, in our history, when things have looked very good. Towards the end of the 19th, early 20th century, people thought, we're getting better and better, wiser and wiser. Everything's going to be better. We'll be heaven on earth. And the First World War happened, then the Second World War. The picture painted in verse 2 and 3 is anything but reassuring or encouraging, but actually it's descriptive of the world we live in. It's not a message of hope, but of fear. And yet we move from there, and what do we find? There is a river. Therefore will we not fear, though the earth give way, the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. The psalmist is reminding us that in spite of all we see, the dark clouds, the frightening future, we don't need to be like other people. And the reason is simple. We have a refuge. And you see, God is our refuge. Look back, he says. Look back to the people of Israel. Look back at your history. Hasn't God redeemed you, saved you in spite of your setbacks and rebellions against him? Look at his provision. And as Christians, of course, we've got a better history. the incarnation, the ministry of Jesus, his death and resurrection, his ascension, and his promise, I will return. We have a history. We know we can trust him. We reflect on the words of Jesus, peace I live with you, my peace I give, not as the world gives. Let not your heart be troubled. Of course, we can bury our heads in the sand and pretend there are no dangers and close our eyes to what's really happening, but that won't last. We can try to create refuge for ourselves, and we do. How many of you have saved for the future? We have. Now, that's not being stupid. That's being sensible. But actually, our security is not in our investments. It's in God. You see, your investments can go up in smoke. The people of Pompeii thought they were secure inside their strong homes. They were not. What hit them and killed them was actually far more severe than they would have ever imagined. The pyroplastic surge of hot gases rushing at, you know, hundreds of miles an hour at temperatures of 500-600 degrees centigrade incinerated them. They were dead in an instant before they were buried by all the volcanic ash. God is our refuge, says the psalmist. We take care about the future. We are sensible. But are we rushing into a refuge that will fail? Or are we putting our security in God who cannot fail, because he will not fail? The contrast between verses 2 and 3 and 4, from frightening earthquakes, tsunamis, storms, and so on, now tranquility. There is a river. A stream. God is within her. She will not fail. What a difference. And then in verse 7, he gives us the reasons for the difference. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Two important statements there. The Lord of hosts is with us. What does the message, what would that phrase mean? The Lord of hosts, the Almighty God, the Creator. When we talk about our refuge, it isn't just concrete, reinforced concrete. You know, they make bunkers to make it so even a nuclear bomb won't destroy it. But actually, every time they make a bunker, which is totally proof of all the detonations the world can make, somebody else makes a bigger bomb, more powerful bomb. God is our refuge. But more than that, he doesn't say, Almighty God is our refuge. More wonderful than that, the God of Jacob is our refuge. What does he mean by that? Why does he add? Why doesn't he just stop? Almighty God is our refuge. Because the God of Jacob means the covenant God. We see the power and majesty of God. We see the grace and mercy of God. Not only his majesty is stressed, but also a God who is for us. You see, he's made an agreement for us, a covenant. We come to communion. We kneel there. We take the bread and the wine. What does this mean? Remember, he says. Why did Jesus tell the disciples, do this? Why? Because I want you to remember, I've made a will for you, a covenant, and I've signed it in my blood. You have two types of covenants. A covenant which, when I bought a house, I made a covenant with the building society. I signed and they signed. I had to do my duty and they did their duty. If I failed in my duty, the covenant was finished. But this is a one-sided covenant. He's made it. I have not had to sign it. Jesus made the covenant, signed it by himself. Why? Because it's a one-sided covenant. It is firm. It is secure. It's no good saying God is our refuge. However, unless we have a right understanding of God, what's your vision of God? When you hear the word God, when you use the word God, what do you imagine? Many people use the word God, but they don't mean the same thing. Did you know that North Korea is a democracy? They call themselves a democracy. It's nothing like us. They use the word. People use the word God. They say, we believe in God. Somebody once said, well, the Muslims believe in one God. We believe in one God. There's only one God, so we're all the same. No. I said to you, when you say God, what do you mean? Describe this God. I believe in the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's my God. the Almighty, the creator of the universe, but also the one who came and died on a cross that I might have eternal life. In the Christian faith, we talk about the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have a faith, we have a covenant, we have a security. Listen to Hebrews. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in his last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things. The reason and the only reason why God's people can remain calm, serene, when the world is shaking, when calamities abound, is that we have confidence in the God who created the world, the universe, the God who sustains the world. And the world, the God who will one day restore the world in what it ought to be and welcome us into his presence. So the Apostle Paul says, look at the evidence. If God is for us, who can be against us? But there's no good believing this unless you're aware who this God is. The psalmist, God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. He's always been there. And more for us today. Look back at the birth of Jesus, death, resurrection, and the ascension. And as we come to communion, we're reminded. Look back, he says. And so the psalmist, be still and know that I am God. I will be honored by every nation. I will be honored throughout the world. That is his promise. And for us Christians, the promise of Jesus, I will come back again. Always remember, he is the Lord of hosts with us. He's the God of Jacob, the covenant God. If you lose sight of this reality of this, we've lost everything. If you remember who God is, the Lord of hosts, the Almighty, the Creator, let's remember he's the God of mercy and covenant. The psalmist could only say, he's the God of Jacob. We can say he's the Lord and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to Apostle Peter. Praise be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he's given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, into an inheritance that is imperishable, unspoiled, will not fade, reserved in heaven for you. Notice how the psalmist says he will not fear. Two important points there. It's an act of the will, not an emotion. He doesn't say, I don't feel afraid. He says, I will not fear. The temptation is there. His natural instincts are to be afraid. But no. He looks away from the danger, the problem. He looks to God. If God is for me, why am I allowing his emotions to overwhelm me? He's not pretending there are no problems. Rather, he's saying, yes, I see the problems, but I see God. Confronted with fearful situation, he says, I will turn and look at God and focus on him. It's natural for us to have a reaction in situations like the reaction of fear. And so the word is, therefore, because of this, that's why. It doesn't make sense. Our natural response would be to fear. That is human. But the difference for us is we have a refuge. Other people will be afraid, and they should be afraid. But for us, we have refuge. So in Hebrews we read, be content with your circumstances. For he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? It's an act of the will. A constant message throughout the Old Testament. Don't be afraid. In Isaiah 41, I'm with you. Don't be discouraged. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will hold you with my victorious right hand. I will not hold me. I will hold you. I may have told you this before. I hope you forgot. I'm not going to repeat it. It was winter in Cheadlehume we were. Our daughter was 7 years old. We went out. It was snowy. The pavements were slippery. She went to hold my hand. No, I said, I will hold you. If you hold me and you slip, whether you fall or not depends on your strength. If I hold you, it doesn't matter what happens, you will not fall. God says, I will hold your hand. Not hold me. Just give me your hand, I will hold it. Jesus, in Luke's gospel, even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Therefore, fear not. You're more valued than many sparrows. I've reached the point where I'm losing a bit of hair. Fortunately, it's where I can't see it at the back. And Jesus again says, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. God is our refuge. But what is your view of God? The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ? Yes. The covenant God. I can trust him. I still have some cards. And I mentioned this to you before. And on those cards I jotted, when we were going through a very difficult situation, where economically it was a disaster, facing a total disaster. I was theological college, facing a total disaster. I kept jotting down God's provision day by day. It was incredible. I look at myself, did God this do for me? Who on earth am I? I'm a nobody. And then he said, oh God, say, no, actually, you're my son. You are a somebody. You're a somebody. You are a somebody. God is our refuge. I don't know what issues you're facing, but life is not always easy. Just hold on. And I've learned to say to God, Lord, I'm going to trust you. And if you want me to fall down, I know you'll pick me up. Give me strength to focus on you today and day by day. You open the door and I'll walk. You lead me and I will follow. You stop and I will stop. You shut the door and I'll say, okay. I'm not dependent on circumstances. So nobody can harm me. God is my refuge. And I'm a nobody. Can you believe it? But it's true. And it's true for you too. Let's pray. Father, we remember that lovely song, Amazing Love. How can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Thank you, Lord, for your majesty and your power. Thank you, Lord, even more for your covenant of grace and mercy. We thank you and we praise you. We do so in our Savior's name.